Hi everybody, hope you're having a great day so far. Before we start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Today's episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is brought to you by Hayward Nutrition. Hayward Nutrition is located on Highway 63 right next to Snap Fitness, and they do a great job of offering some healthier options for you to enjoy. So whether you're trying to get a shake or a coffee or a loaded tea or even a slushy, they have all those different options for you to enjoy, whether it's sometime in the morning after you do a workout or later in the day as well. They also have acai bowls and peanut butter protein balls. Their drinks are delicious, and usually I'm not a whipped cream guy, but their zero sugar whipped cream made me feel a little bit better about myself when I was enjoying one of their shakes. So stop by Hayward Nutrition, say hello to Jamie and the gang, and we appreciate you listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. If you love the Green Bay Packers, then you're going to love today's episode because I got to chat with the Green Bay guy and we got to talk about all things happening with the draft in Green Bay. Also talked about Packers history when it comes to the draft, who they tend to lean towards drafting in the first round. We also talked about our predictions for the 2025-2026 season and so much more. And I think you're really going to enjoy how we dive into the different things that are happening in Green Bay surrounding the draft, what things look like so far. And I think you're just going to love to hear what Ben, the Green Bay guy, has to say. If you don't already follow the Green Bay guy on Facebook and Instagram, you're missing out because he does a great job incorporating some Packers history, gives you some trivia questions when it comes to, can you name this Packer, like expert level, rookie level, diehard Packers fan, all those things of that nature. And he just does a great job with his page and promoting the Green Bay Packers, their history, and just the great culture that Packers fans have. Also, if you're traveling to Green Bay, you should check out his website, www.thegreenbayguy.com, and he has a bunch of different guides as far as parking goes, food options, coffee spots, a bunch of different stuff that you're going to want to check out so you feel like a local when you're in Green Bay. Now let's get to today's episode. Today by the Green Bay guy, excited to talk about all things Green Bay Packers and most importantly the NFL draft that's coming up here at the towards the end of April. Got a few weeks until then, and well, actually not even a few weeks now, I'm just so used to saying that, but yeah it's gonna be here before you know it, a couple weeks now. So Ben, I appreciate you coming on to the show and just taking time out of your schedule to talk about the draft and everything like that. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super stoked to be here. I appreciate you extending an invite. It's always good talking with you. And anytime I can talk Packers with a friend, I'm happy, man.
Yeah, it was fun seeing you during training camp and being able to
likewise
grab some wings together. So,
yeah, likewise. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and now it's crazy that we're already back close to that same point.
Dude, it's scary how fast time goes. Like we're just talking about our before the show started, but like how old our kids are getting, and because our kids are pretty similar in age, and it's like you blink and another month goes by and you're just like, man, where's the time go? You know, it's got to slow down, but before you know it, it'll be season starting and we'll be in that blur of fall again.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite times of year because I don't know, you get so busy with summer schedules and things like that and football season, although I don't know. It seems like there's football on every night and everything like that.
Yeah.
Like a Sunday afternoon, it's just a good reminder, like, hey, let's just relax, hang out as a family, watch the game together, hopefully see the Packers win. So
very few things better for sure. Nice family time, just hanging out, especially if you got like the fireplace going on that like crisp fall day, which I can't do now because of our son or my wife and I's kid. So we can't do that right now, but, yeah.
Eventually, you'll get to that point.
One day when he's not trying to like get into every little thing that's new or different in the house. Yeah, one day.
Yeah. So how is Green Bay looking right now as we get closer to the draft?
Yeah, so it's a little interesting because the like main intersection of Lombardi and Oneida, which if you've come to Lambeau or come to Green Bay, go to Lambeau Field, that's like Lombardi and Oneida are like the two main roads that most people know. Well, that intersection now is closed down because they're building this huge stage for the draft. The draft stage is like right kind of in the corner end zone onto Oneida Street. And now as it gets closer and closer, they're actually going to shut down all of Lombardi from what it sounds like, and even Oneida further down. So it's really interesting because a lot of people take that because it's a pretty main road, and to have that kind of intersection closed down, you can kind of still get through on Lombardi, but when that closes down, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of people getting upset. But I think everyone's kind of, it feels like almost like people in town are like kind of preparing for like doomsday to come, because everyone's like, yeah, we're really stocking up on stuff. We're getting all our groceries, like getting everything planned so we can kind of just hunker down and wait this thing out. And then the other people are like, oh yeah, well, we're going to be going into it. So it's like you're in one category or the other of like doomsday prepping or just preparing for a storm that you're going to go out into.
Right.
I'm not sure which decision's better, to be honest with you. Both sound interesting in their own ways.
Right. Yeah. They're the two extremes of the draft and everything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's got to be interesting, though, just seeing all that come together. And, like, yeah, I'm used to driving down Oneida and everything, so people have to get creative with how they travel and how they get around to where they need to get to, whether they're staying at a friend's house or getting to their hotel. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see because, I mean, like we said, Green Bay, this is their first time hosting the draft, and it's uncharted territory. I mean, like, you have the usual game day crowd and everything like that, and that in and of itself is a little crazy, but at least that's something that Green Bay is used to. But
right
at this point, it's like, how many people are coming, what to expect there?
Yeah, I think Detroit, when they had theirs last year, I think they had 600,000 people day one, which a traditional Packer game, you're probably, I mean, Lambeau Field's 80,000 in capacity right now, so some of those are obviously going to be local, but you're probably bringing in like another 60,000 people to Green Bay for a Packers game. So if you think about it, if you're used to bringing in 60,000 people and now we're expecting 600,000 or more, I mean, that's 10x of what you're seeing in a normal Packers game, which is going to just be wild. Logistically, I don't know how like businesses are going to handle it. We went out to dinner not long ago to Anduzzi's. And they were doing interviews there because they're gearing up for the draft. And the interviews, I kid you not, I felt like it was just coming in to make sure that they're an actual person. Interviews were like 2 minutes a piece. Come in, he would sit down. Hey, I see you worked here. Yep. Okay, cool. Yep, you're good. It was just like, it was like the wildest thing. It's like, if you have a pulse and you're going to show up one of the 3 days during the draft, I think we want to hire you. It's wild. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out like after the draft, because it's got to be a weird swing in employment in that span.
Yeah, it's got to almost be like what UPS or FedEx do with maybe like Christmas time, trying to deliver all those packages and everything. Yeah, could be something like that. But yeah, that's very interesting. Like, hey, we might just need you to watch the door, or maybe just keep on run ice, and I trust that you're going to show up for this. And
you're probably hiring multiple ice runners just in case one doesn't show up and you'll have two more. But I don't even know, like, I can't fathom the logistics of all of this, of like from a hotel perspective to a restaurant perspective. You know, people have been asking me through my site, because I have a lot of resources there, people have been like asking me about parking, and I'm like, I have no idea. This is all uncharted territory. I have zero idea of anything of where parking is going to be good. I'm just as lost as everyone else in this madness, because we have no prior data to work off of. It's just,
right,
we're all going to show up and hope for the best.
I think that's just my game plan as well. Just, you know, I know where I'm sleeping,
and I will have clothes packed. That's really about it.
That's all you can really control in this situation.
Yep, go from there, and yeah, just hope for the best. So yeah, the logistics and traffic we're probably not the most excited about, but what are you most excited about with the draft being in Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the excitement around Green Bay. I'm really excited. I feel like a lot of football fans, especially like rivals, I feel like they're quick to knock Green Bay. You know, they're always knocking. Well, like, of course you guys go to the Packer games. Of course they're sold out. There's nothing else to do in town. And it's like, I'm excited for people to come in and see like how great Green Bay is. I mean, Green Bay is such a fun city. I feel like it's a good size. It's sizable enough to have what you need. And it's like spread out enough to not feel like you're kind of one, like on top of one another. So I'm excited for a lot of people just to see, you know, how cozy and quaint Green Bay is. And you don't need to be in like this metropolis to enjoy the city that you're in. So that's one thing I'm really excited about. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm dreading that at the same time because it's going to be a bajillion people here and I don't do well in like large crowds like that, but I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah. I'm excited just to, have people experience, I don't know, being, not that we're going into Lambeau Field, but being at that place where a lot of people, we might take it for granted that we live so close to it and everything, mm-hmm. but having people make that, I don't know, NFL pilgrimage to this historic field and everything to experience the draft is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. I actually have a guy I met through my Facebook page years ago. He was like one of my first followers back in 2017 or so. Him and I have become good friends now over the years, and he's from Australia, and he's coming in, and he's going to stay at my house for the week. And so he's been to Green Bay once before, and that was years and years and years ago. So we're going to go out and make some content together, and I think I'm going to take him to the grocery store and be like, all right, we got to pick out popular snacks that you don't have in Australia, and we're going to make a video of like trying these. So I'm really excited for him to like explore the city a bit more for a longer period of time.
Yeah, that'll be pretty special. That'll be awesome.
I think it's going to be like a 24-hour travel for him to get here, which is going to be ridiculous. I'm sure he's going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
I do not envy that, that's for sure.
No, not at all. What position do you think the Packers are going to draft in the first round?
Full disclosure, I don't know college football. I focus too much of my time and energy on Packers football to kind of use that same energy anywhere else. So I don't know college football. But from a position standpoint, I mean, I could see pass rush being a thing. The remarks have been made about like needing a solid pass rush. I don't know that they go wide receiver. I know every year everyone's like, this is the year, wide receiver. I don't know that they do that. I think you still have a decent core group of receivers. And I know everyone was like kind of bummed on how last year went, but I still think that there's a lot of faith in those receivers. But I think it's going to be on defensive side of the ball, whether it's cornerback or an outside linebacker of some sort, maybe a nose tackle or D tackle just to generate interior pressure. But that would be my guess. What about you? What's your prediction here, Dalton?
Oh gosh. What I want again versus what I think they'll do. Okay, I'll give you the want first. I'm in the same camp as a lot of people. I would love to see them draft like a premier wide receiver. Again, don't know myself. I don't know too much college football as well. So yep. There's not like a big prospect that I have my eyes set on like, oh, he would be a perfect fit in Green Bay. As we draft guys, that's kind of where I'm doing my research. Like, oh, I could see him being a good fit in Green Bay kind of deal. So I think it would be cool if we could finally break the defensive draft in the first round mindset. I don't know. It just had.
Hey, we drafted offensive first round last year in Jordan Morgan. I mean, offensive lineman, that's a key weapon right now.
It is. Yeah. Kind of being, for sure.
Kind of being a jokester.
Yeah. If you're maybe in the Detroit Lions where you can be an offensive weapon on the goal line.
Yeah. What's it been? A little over 20 years since we last drafted like a wide receiver first round, Javon Walker.
Yeah.
2004, I believe, was the last time we took a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I do say is everyone's like, oh, the Packers never draft first round wide receivers. Like, sure, but Davante Adams was a second round. Was he any worse because he wasn't a first rounder? Randall Cobb, a second round. Greg Jennings, a second round. James Jones, a third round. There's a lot of weapons that they've drafted over the years that just because they're not round one, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of talent there that you can find that you don't need to force it if it's not there. Now, if the board falls that way, I'm all for it for sure.
Right. I think they probably end up going somewhere along the defensive line. I could see him doing an edge rusher or an interior guy. Even still offensive line. I mean, you got to protect your quarterback, and I think that's the name of the game with a lot of, I don't know, how defenses are changing their schemes and everything like that and getting to the quarterback a lot more. You got to protect your quarterback there. So,
look at the Eagles too, right? The Eagles bolstered their defensive line and their offensive line, and they just punched their opponent in the mouth the entire game. And everyone's like, oh man, look at how dominant they were. To get to that point, you need to invest in offensive line and defensive line and make it a priority. So it's not a fun draft pick to take an offensive lineman.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to trust anyone to draft an offensive lineman, it's going to be the Packers. They seem to hit well on theirs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so we'll see how it all plays out. They might even trade out of the first round. How would you feel about that if they were like, we have the draft in Green Bay, night one, and we're going to trade back. We're going to trade back and go day two.
I'm kind of here for it just because of like the memes that come with it, right? That would just crack me up because so many people would be so mad.
It would be such
you'd just see people like rioting. How would people be more, do you think people would be more upset if they traded out of the first round or if they traded a majority of their draft capital for this draft to move up? So they had less picks, but one more like higher end pick, or more picks, but you lose that first round.
I feel like more people would be upset if we traded back.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I feel like more people would be it because all the energy and everything is building up to like, all right, who are the Packers going to draft? It's
right.
One and everything. And then to, have that come up. The pick has been traded. Yeah, I feel like that'd be very.
You put that in the atmosphere now, Dalton. We'll see. What happens.
Yeah. Don't come for me. I'm just saying it's a possibility. Yeah.
Goot's probably watching this podcast and he's thinking, hey, man, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What have I gotten myself into? So who's been one of your favorite draft picks over the past 5 years that the Packers have drafted?
Ooh, over the past 5 years, I'm going to go, it's probably more recency bias, but I'm going to go Edgerrin Cooper. I'm a big middle linebacker guy. My favorite Packer player of all time is Desmond Bishop. But that goes more of like I got to know him on more of a personal level, and I've got to do a lot of fun stuff, with his family and, you know, charity things and stuff like that. So I'm already have a soft spot for linebackers, and I think Edgerrin Cooper is a phenomenal linebacker. I really love seeing him kind of grow this past year, and I'm really excited to see what he's going to do going forward. So that's the first one that comes to mind for the last 5 years anyway. Crazy to think, dude, 5 years, 2020, it's already like 5 years since the COVID draft. That's
right.
That's wild. What about you? What's your last 5 years? What do you got?
I would say Jaden Reed. I really like what he can bring to the offense and everything like that. And I know that last year had its ups and downs and things like that. But, I mean, we saw in his rookie year how electrifying he could be and everything like that. So I would like him to not do as many end arounds and things like that. I don't know. If we could work like Marshawn Lloyd more into that.
Well, now they got that guy from the Chiefs.
Mecole Hardman,
Yeah, so and that's kind of his role as a speedster return guy. So they might utilize that more and let him take those hits.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, he's just too valuable to me to have him take those hits or things like that. So
Well, during the season, I was talking about, because he was doing return, like the return game, and I'm right. I think Jaden is far too valuable to have him returning kicks.
Mm-hmm.
You pay Nixon how much money as a big reason was because of his return ability. I don't know. Now they were thin out at cornerback too, but I don't know. I just felt like he was too valuable to be in that role.
Yeah, same here. But yeah, I think he's one of my favorite picks in the last 5 years.
That's a great choice. I like that choice.
Yeah. What player do you think is going to have a breakout year this year in 2025?
I think we're going to see big jump ups from our wide receiver core. I think Dontavian Wicks. I know a lot of people are really like souring on him quick for some reason, and I understand the drops, you know, are frustrating.
Devontae had him too, though.
Yeah, and the same thing is like Devontae. Dontavian gets open. I will take a wide receiver who can get open and beat his guy, even if he's struggling with catching the ball. I think all that takes is a little bit of practice, a little bit of chemistry build between Jordan and Dontavian, and I think he's going to be a phenomenal receiver. I don't know. If he can get open and win his routes that much, I'm not giving up on the guy that early. So that's my choice. And it's funny, if you look at his college career, he would have one good year, and then he would have one like off year, and then he would have one really good year, and then he would have an off year.
He's consistent.
So he had a good year last year. He had an off year this 2024 season. So I think next year he's just going to be like, you know, another great year, and then we might have, you know. But.
Yeah, just got to ride the highs and lows of it.
Exactly. So I don't know. That's my when you ask me, that's kind of my first initial gut is what my gut's telling me, but. What about you? What's your prediction on this one?
Well, I'm hoping that we finally get to see more of Marshawn Lloyd. I don't know. His rookie year, he just seemed to have everything happen, like with his appendicitis and other things like that. Just popping up, you're like, this is not an ideal rookie year in the NFL.
No, that's got to be such a disheartening thing too, because you're on such a high from getting drafted and you're so excited to come in and contribute to this team and compete with these guys and see what you can bring to this team. And then just one setback after another. And it's disheartening. Yes. So I'm with you. I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, me too. And just how LaFleur works him into the offense and everything like that, because at the end of the day, we know Josh Jacobs is going to be the number one, but yep. How do you work in Marshawn Lloyd? And now that AJ Dillon's with the Eagles, like what's our offensive scheme going to look like?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, well, and then they had Emmanuel Wilson. I don't know. I think he's still around. And then they had Chris Brooks, who looked really good too. So they actually had some pretty impressive depth there towards the end. So I'm curious on how they're going to see between those four backs. Obviously, you know, Josh Jacobs is making the team, but the other three, I wonder how that's going to shake out as far as who's going to be the odd man out. Because I can't imagine they keep all four. That just doesn't seem like it's a practical thing.
Well, and if somebody falls to them too in the draft that they really like what is that? How does that change things too?
Yeah, I mean, you don't see running backs getting taken as much, but now it's starting to pop up again. Like the last couple of years, you've seen them getting drafted higher, but for the longest time, you didn't see running backs really get taken high anymore. So yeah, you never really know what's going to happen or how that's the fun part about the draft, man. You never know what's going to happen. You know, there could be a wide receiver who's supposed to be a top. I don't watch college, so I don't know. But you could see a wide receiver that's supposed to be a top five guy or a defense player that's supposed to be a top five guy fall all the way to Green Bay, and you never know what could happen.
It's like a reverse fantasy football draft because you're usually running backs go pretty early because they're such a premier position and everything like that. And then, I don't know, seems to work out in the NFL like those guys aren't going off until the fourth round, fifth round, day two and day three guys, but you really don't have that many first round running backs anymore,
right? Yeah. So, I mean, do you think the Packers keep their trend of we saw them Aaron Jones draft class, we saw them take Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and D'Angelo. Was it D'Angelo Yancey or was it a different run? Whatever, it's not important. Took three running backs there.
Yep.
And then they took Watson, Romeo Doubs, and someone else. I can't remember. I think they took a third Was that Dontavian's rookie year too? Anyway, I think they took a third there. They took three wide receivers. And then last year they took multiple safeties, right? They took, they signed one. They took Evan Williams. Then they took Javon Bullard.
Yep.
So they're like multiple players of need. Do you think this year they do something similar to a cornerback? Like, do they just take multiple cornerbacks trying to land on one or two that can play?
Yeah, I feel like they're going to do the pull tab investing with cornerbacks.
That's a better way to put it.
Just one of these is going to hit eventually, and there you go. Then it was worth the investment.
I think if I were like a GM, like if I were like the GM of the Jets, I'd probably draft three quarterbacks every year. One of these guys has got to stick eventually,
right.
and hope for the best.
You got so many picks, might as well give it a try.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, speaking of cornerbacks, do you see Jair getting traded on during the draft at all? Or do you see him playing the 2025 season with the Packers? Because that's kind of been like a thing up in the air lately.
Yeah, that's a tough one because when you look at Jair's salary, I feel like his salary is modest compared to other corners in the NFL that are a higher tier, right? So if you got rid of Jair and you were to try to bring into someone that's kind of what you think is his level, it's going to cost you more money, odds are, unless you draft the guy, which that's tough to find too, because cornerbacks are really tough. I think they're really tough to hit on in the NFL.
Definitely.
So you might trade him away and not be able to replace him. And if you do try to replace him with a veteran, it's going to cost you more money. I think the biggest thing is if he can just stay on the field, which last year he had the PCL tear, which I don't really attribute that to being his fault. That was just like that weird end of the game where he kind of pulled up on it weird. I mean, those things happen in the NFL and it sucks that it happens. But he has missed a lot of football in the last couple of years. Do I think he's going to get traded during the draft? I'm going to say no, because I feel like player trades during the draft are generally a little bit rarer. I think there's probably got to be a deal that was done ahead of time for everyone to kind of be on the same page as far as like the player. A lot of times when there's trades happening, they want contract stuff. So I'm going to say no, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened, but my gut's saying no. What do you think?
Yeah, I just want to put it out there too. Like, I think it could be a possibility, but I don't think it's a strong possibility.
Yeah.
I think it's something that, I don't know, if they really wanted to, I don't know, make a big move since everything's in Green Bay, I don't know, drum something up, I don't know, get jersey sales going on another guy that got traded to the team.
Do you think people would be really upset about it if it happened during the draft? Because I feel like a lot of people love Jair,
right?
But a lot of people really dislike him.
The people that would be upset the most would be the ones that showed up in a Jair Alexander jersey, because it'd be like, well, this is already old. What the heck?
Yeah. Dude, and that's why like I don't buy mini jerseys anymore, because you spend the money and then they're just like gone. I just buy players. What I've been doing a lot lately is going on eBay and buying jerseys from like the 90s, like the players I love growing up.
Yeah.
Like I got an Edgar Bennett jersey and just these like players that I grew up watching that I really enjoy, because now I know that they're not going to get traded. The only down thing that could potentially happen is something come out about their like personal life or something, and now they're like not good people. But
yeah, you can't wear it with pride or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe we should do something else with this.
But I'm only spending like $30 on the jersey, so if that happens, I'm okay. I'll live to see another day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was one of my questions I was going to ask you was, what's a current or former Packers player jersey you wish you had? So
I wish I had
perusing eBay, what are you still hopeful to find?
I mean, I was looking for Gilbert Brown ones today, actually. But one I really want to get that I'll probably end up pulling the trigger on is a Sean Jones, and the ones that say S.Jones on the back.
Okay.
Those are the ones I'll probably be buying. I'll be scooping one up soon, because Sean Jones was such a fun player to have on the team. You know, Ron Wolf brought him in as that like veteran leadership to kind of help put the team over the hump. And I don't know why, as a kid, I really enjoyed Sean Jones, and I've met him before. Nice guy. And so I might have to pull the trigger on the Sean Jones jersey here soon. Yeah. And now I'm curious about yours.
Ooh, I would say mine would be, gosh. Well, I do have a Dorsey Levens one. That was one that nice. I found at a garage sale. I was like, okay, sure. That's the best.
Take my money. Dude. Yeah, dude, that's the best.
Yeah, we still got to get you up to the Packers Pro Shop of the Northwoods.
Dude, I do need to get over there. I was actually going to tell you, there's a place that just opened not long ago. I think when we had talked, when we had met at training camp, I think it opened up during the year. But it's like a throwback store, and they have a lot of Packers stuff in there. It's probably not as price friendly as the Northwoods Packers Pro Shop. But it's pretty cool, all the vintage stuff that they got in there that I should see online. But I do want to get over there. I'm trying to tell my wife that we need to take a trip to Hayward. Maybe in the summer. That seems like a nice time to come visit with all the other tourists and have everyone mad at us for being there.
Right, exactly. Come up for Lumberjack World Championships and experience it all.
Downtown Hayward. Love it.
It's a good time. I would say the jersey that I want the most would have to be, I don't know, like a current Packer player, I really like Evan Williams, or getting a Jaden Reed one. I think those would be my top two.
Do you have any from like years? I know you're a bit younger than me too. So do you have any from like your younger years of growing up watching that you really wish you had?
Well, I got a Donald Driver one.
That's a great one.
So that was somebody that I always loved watching. Amon Green. There we go. That would be it.
Solid one. Now, would you go the traditional number 30, or would you go the exclusive 34 for the one season he was in 2009 when he wore 34? You'd throw off a lot of people wearing a 34 Amon Green jersey.
That would, yeah. I feel like I'd have to go with the one I'm most familiar with.
Yeah, the 30.
Number 30. Yeah.
Solid choice.
Yeah. So that'd be my move. So I don't know. May have to see what we can find during draft week.
Dude, the nice part about those two is like, I feel like they're popular enough that you could come across them at any garage sale and right. it wouldn't surprise anyone.
Yeah, it's not like super niche. Like if you're
right.
I don't know if you're still trying to get like a number 83 Jeff Janis jersey or something like that. Like that's pretty particular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they made a lot of them on green jerseys that you could probably snag one for sure.
Uh-huh. How do you think the NFC North is going to look this year? There's been a lot of stuff that different teams in the NFC North have done over the offseason, whether it's coaching changes with not head coaching changes, but with the Detroit Lions, with Aaron Glenn going off to the Jets and then Ben Johnson going to the Bears. A lot of moves that the Vikings are making with signing some more veteran guys, but still, I don't know if their quarterback situation's up in the air. And then the Bears kind of shoring things up on the offensive line, it appears on paper, but the Bears are going to Bears. So we'll see what happens there. But how do you see the NFC North shaking out here pre-draft?
Oh, man, last year I was on a podcast before the season when the schedule got announced, and someone asked me that question. And I said, you know, I really think the Bears are going to be more competitive, and I think the Vikings are going to be just a dumpster fire of the year. And the Vikings were phenomenal. So I say that because I'm going to be so wrong on no matter what I say here. But with that being said, I actually wouldn't be surprised if the NFC North was more competitive this year than it was last year. And last year was very competitive.
Yeah.
I think Chicago, if they could shore up their offensive line, it's going to give Caleb a chance to play, and hopefully he didn't break him. I don't know. I mean, I think all teams have kind of gotten better. Green Bay probably didn't take as big of a step as some of the other people in our division, but that's all on paper, right? All these people love free agent moves until, you know, a year or two later. I remember so many times where guys were free agents and Packer fans were yelling from the rooftops that we didn't sign him, so we're going to be terrible, and then that player never amounted to anything. So I on paper, it looks like everyone got a lot better except Green Bay, so that's kind of hard to see. But I guess we'll see what happens come like December, January, and see where things are. But I could see it being hyper-competitive this year where everyone kind of needs to play their best games every single game to kind of stay in the race.
Yeah, and I really hope that Packers really couldn't play any worse when it came to division games, right. Being 1-5 in the division games. So I feel like that's going to be really a point that LaFleur drives home this year, is like, we got to win these division games. Like, I don't know, these are historic rivals and things like that, and we just got to make sure we're putting our best out there. I mean, I'm sure they already are putting their best out there, but really trying to make sure those are key victories that they get and setting up their season for success.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last year the Packers home games for rivalries were all gold package tickets.
Yeah.
That was... Which I don't think they're going to do that again, because that's there's good fans in the gold package, but there's a lot of bad fans. And a lot of those fans just sell the tickets. That's all they care about. That's all they do. It's their like revenue or their income, and that's how they make it. And I'm happy the Packers are taking away tickets now. But that's really disheartening that last year all the divisional games were gold package, because that's brutal.
Yeah.
You saw it. You saw how the opposing fans just bought up everything and took over the stadium. And it's so disheartening to see.
Yeah, it truly makes a difference. One of my buddies went to a Monday Night Football game. This was back when we were in college. And it was against the Detroit Lions. But it was, I think Rodgers was hurt, and then so was Stafford. So we saw two backup quarterbacks play against each other on Monday Night Football. I was like, well,
nice.
This wasn't the marquee matchup we were really hoping for.
Right.
And there was so much, so much blue. And I was like, this doesn't feel right.
No, and it's super frustrating, because I get extra frustrated because I've been on wait list now for my tickets for almost 15 years, probably 15 years out now at this point. And I haven't made much progress at all. We just put our son Mason on the waiting list, and I calculated it's going to take 190 years if we average out the amount of tickets off the list every year that we have over the last 15 years. It's going to take 190 years for him to get his season tickets. And it's frustrating when that's happening, because there are so many fans that all they do is sell their tickets. That's all they don't go to games. They don't care. It's just a moneymaker for them. So I think that's the frustrating part, is there's so many fans like myself that would, I understand you're not going to go to every single game every year, but there's so many fans that would just cherish having those seats and really, really bring like an atmosphere to Lambeau Field that we probably haven't seen since the 90s.
Right. Yeah. I think it'd be cool. Now, not that we need to get to the Bills Mafia level, but,
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, we could.
Yeah,
we could.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, that's another element to the game that has an impact. Like, if your crowd is really energized and excited and crazy, that really plays when the opposing team is on offense, like, gosh, we really can't hear that much. Like, this, the famous Seattle, like, 12th man effect that can really have a big impact on the game.
Yeah, and if you go back and look at like games from the 90s, when the Packers were finally starting to kind of get relevant again after 20 years of drought, the stadium was like thumping, man. Like, people were rowdy at games and just like into it. And I'm sure some changes with like beer sales and like prices of stuff, I'm sure that impacts some of it. But the Packers just generally have an older fan base too, and a lot of those season tickets are older, or the season ticket holders are older, so they don't want to get as rowdy anymore. Not, I understand that side of it as well. So I think it's just finding that like happy balance that to bring some energy to it, because you go to a Packer game sometimes, depending on the opponents, and you're just like, man, this is just like, you're kind of just sitting here and it's pretty quiet unless like a big play happens, but then everyone just kind of sits back down and it's just, you know. Which, I don't know. There's a balance to it for sure.
I feel like as a fan base, though, we need to have like a collective meeting on when it is an improper time to do the wave.
All the time. I am so anti-wave, man. Yeah. It is funny how, like, dude, I joked that I was going to like make no wave shirts to wear as like kind of my merch.
Yeah.
Because I hate the wave more than anything. Like, and Packer fans always do it on during the offense, always.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm like, I'll stay seated, because I'm like, I am not participating in this.
Nope.
Or you're not getting a woo out of me. Like, our offense is trying to drive the ball, and we're at home,
It's the worst.
Come on, guys. This is bad.
And I've seen it happen in like close games too. Right. It's not like it's a blowout. It's like close games, and there's always that drunk person trying to get the wave going, and like people are like, "Oh, haha, this is fun," and you're like, "No, like this is the worst time for it. Sit down, be loud on defense. Do the wave on defense if you want to do the wave." But my gosh, so frustrating.
I think there was a clip last year, like fans were doing the wave during the game, and there's a shot of LaFleur going, What is going on, or something like that? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, you know it's bad when they have like reminders that play that hey, the team's on offense, like quiet down. You know, and I'm sure all teams have that, but it's like if you're spending that much money to go to a game, and maybe it's your first time going, so maybe you're not aware, but like to not know the kind of the policy of being there and how to actually be at a game. I should add that as like a fan code of conduct to my website so people can read that before they go to a game.
Yeah, it's not quite like placing the jinx on if you go to a baseball game saying like, wow, this guy's throwing a no-hitter. But it's like, I don't know, close to that effect, like you're, I don't know, having an impact on the game.
Yeah, yeah, it's a huge distraction for sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe now you got me fired up.
Sorry.
8 o'clock at night, like fired up about the wave happening at Lambeau Field. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight now. I'm so amped up.
Maybe that's how we spend like the shareholders meeting. It's like, now that we got you all together,
yeah,
we need to have a family meeting here about the wave.
Dude, I think you'd get a lot of people on board, especially at the shareholder meeting, because they're probably a lot more older people and they're probably just as sick of it as we are.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to be up and down constantly. They just want to watch the game. So I think we'd have their buy-in for sure.
We need to like put little highlight reels together and be like, all right, we're on offense. Do we do the wave?
Yeah.
And everybody goes, no.
Yeah.
And then it's just to confirm. This is the teacher.
Yeah, just to
me
confirm. You're still going to get that drunk guy that doesn't care. Oh, right. My God. Yeah.
Well,
we'll need security to step in.
Yeah, we'll have videos for that. Like, how do you handle this? Not right now, Steve. Take a seat.
Just throw something at him.
Yeah. Here's a brat. Just take it easy, man.
Oh, that's great. Yep. Yeah, now I'm fired up about the wave.
Sorry, man. Didn't mean to do that. To
that's
I didn't think
I'm
we were going to go
about.
There. But yeah,
yeah, I know. That's what I'm passionate about. Is my hatred of the wave.
Yeah. Didn't know it existed, but now I do. But we'll get that improved. We'll get that.
I'm tasking you with that one now, man.
Okay,
dude, you got social media pull. Mm-hmm. The Packers are sending you stuff. You got a buy-in with the Packers. I think you got the in. The Packers didn't send me anything from the pro shop. So I think you got more of the in than I do. So I think I'm going to task you with that one.
Okay. Task force, no wake zone.
Yeah. No wake zone. I like that. Telling you, man, I'm going to get shirts that are made up that say no wake zone and just 1265 Lombardi.
Yes. I'll buy one. So speaking of all this, so what improvements besides the no wave zone do you think the Packers need to improve upon, or what changes do you think the Packers need to make in order to make it to the Super Bowl in 2025?
In order to make it to the Super Bowl, you know, I'd like to see us continue trending upwards on defense. Jeff Hafley brought a lot to that defense and we saw a lot of nice progress made. I think all in all, I think just a better performance from the offense, or more consistency from the offense, whether it's wide receivers and catching, Jordan and his ball placement, sometimes he goes a little high or low. I think there's more with his knee last year than we know. I think it's just more consistency across the board from an offense and that upward trend from a defense, increased pass rush, because it doesn't matter if you had prime Charles Woodson and prime Jair back there with prime Nick Collins and I'm trying to think who would be another good safety. I almost said Darren Sharper, but that's not probably
Micah Hyde.
Yeah, I mean, Micah Hyde was a really solid one too, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you could have anyone there at those defensive back positions and it's not going to matter if you don't have a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you need that pass rush there to make that kind of all come together. So that's my three things. Increased performance on offense, like more consistency, continued growth by the defense, and a better pass rush in general. So I'm kicking that over to you now. What's your what's your list of what you need to do?
It's hard to follow. I would say, I would say getting into a better groove when it comes to, like, are we going to be this team that's, like, going to run it down your throat? Are we going to be this air raid team? Like, let's find our identity and kind of stick with it. Now, I know depending on the matchups and things like that, you try to do different things to, I don't know whether you see like there's a weakness with a certain cornerback and you try to get more targets to a wide receiver. Like, I understand that, but it feels like, I don't know, when Malik stepped in last year and we were running the ball and we were moving the ball really well, we seemed to do really well in that regard. But then once Jordan Love came back, then it was less of, I understand he was dealing with injuries now too, but it was less like a mobile quarterback situation. And it was, I don't know, didn't feel like we had an identity when it came to our offense.
Yeah, I could definitely see that side of things. And Malik brings so much to that offense with that threat that it made it fun to kind of watch that. So it is tough. But from an offensive perspective, it's tough to find that balance too when you are flip-flopping between the two. So it'll be interesting to see how that identity shakes out. I think that's a really good call out.
And I think... yeah, we need more of a pass rush. Like if we have quarterbacks, especially like rookie quarterbacks, or when we face the Vikings, if it happens to be JJ McCarthy, if he has all day back there, it's gonna be, he's gonna feel like he's been in the league for 5 years.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, look at the Eagles. Like we talked about, dude, their offensive line and defensive line just bullied the other team, and they made it look so easy. Like Mahomes looks so lost.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl. I mean, how many times have you seen Mahomes look that lost in his career?
Not many. The only
and that
other
just
time
shows,
would have been like when they were playing the Buccaneers.
Yeah, yeah, and they had a solid pass rush against his depleted offensive line. Yeah, so it's you know, and the beautiful thing with the Eagles, dude, I don't think they blitzed in the entire Super Bowl. They rushed four the entire time and just bullied Mahomes. If we could have. I feel like in my entire life, minus the 2010 season, when I was a little kid, we had a really solid defense during the 96 season. But most of my life, the Packers defense have been so inconsistent and so bad that it'd just be nice to have that for once.
Yeah, just to be like those, I don't know, the tone setters, things like that, that are going to carry over game to game, ones that you can rely on to be like, oh, our defense is out there. We're going to get the job done.
Right. Yeah, you don't really feel that confidence there when the defense is on the field. It felt better last year, though, with Halfley. Oh, I feel like Halfley really did a lot in his first year that I'm excited to see what he can do going forward.
Well, and just generating the amount of turnovers, too. That wasn't something that we saw a lot of previously. So
no.
To have, like, I don't know, even Xavier McKinney getting 8 or 9 interceptions himself, not alone, let alone like, oh, that's how many our team had this year. No, that's just how many Xavier McKinney had. So
yeah, I still cannot believe that Joe Shane of the Giants let him hit free agency, him and Saquon. Like, dude, that is wild to me that he let those two guys go
and he still has a job.
Yeah, I sent him, I don't know if you saw this, but I sent him a thank you card, a $10 Quick Trip gift card. I made a video about it. I was like, hey, just want to say thanks,
appreciate
for
you.
Xavier, appreciate you. Next time you're in the area, get some dunkers on me.
Yeah,
never heard anything back. I was kind of hoping that he was gonna send me something back, like to my post office box. I was hoping he was gonna be like, thanks, you know, something blunt, but nothing. Well, I'm surprised he still has a job though.
Yeah, I mean, if that's a really big fumble, to put it in football terms, that's, I mean, two guys that are making huge impacts on other teams.
Yeah, and I think he's all, I could be wrong, but I think he was also the reason or the GM that extended Daniel Jones as well, which is a pretty big, once again, I could be wrong on that because I don't follow the Giants as much, but I thought I had read that somewhere during the year.
Even Giants fans don't follow that closely anymore.
That's, you're probably not wrong about that.
They're like, ah, there's a game Sunday? Cool. Remind me not to wear my gear so people don't ask me how it is after.
Isn't that weird, though, to think, like, so 2007, 2011, they won the Super Bowl, right? And in that span, the Packers have been pretty consistently competing. Now, we had Aaron Rodgers, which helps. having a Hall of Fame quarterback kind of covers up some stuff.
Yeah.
But even with Rodgers departing, we've had two seasons now of making the playoffs and pretty like decent consistency yet in this team. And that team that won a Super Bowl in 2011 is now such a shell of them their former selves. It really is interesting in the NFL how quickly teams can go from a Super Bowl team to just being so embarrassing to watch every Sunday. Like, that is just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, I think we're pretty spoiled in Green Bay with our formula since the 90s.
Yeah.
I think, like, we've, really got it figured out when it comes to that, to be a contender every year.
Yep.
And so you see the teams that, like, give up a bunch of draft picks or sign a guy to a huge contract that doesn't end up panning out for them. And those teams happen to be the ones that are kind of always drafting first in the draft and then not making anything of it. Like, you would think after all this time that the culture in like Jacksonville would change, or with the Browns would change, or even like Tennessee Titans and things like that. Like, they're always, for as long as I can remember, they always seem to be towards the bottom of the league.
Yeah. Well, and Jacksonville has at least had some years with some success. Was it 2014 where they made the AFC Championship game?
Blake Bortles,
they probably should. Yeah, they probably should have won that AFC Championship. I think there's like a controversial call that game that kind of took it away from them. But you look back at like 2014, it doesn't feel like that long ago to be an AFC Championship team and things trending up to now being so horrible. Or look at the Titans. The Titans, 2 or 3 years ago, it's probably more than that now. But when was Brady's last year in New England? Was that 19? I think it was
possibly
19.
Yeah.
I think so, because I think he won the Super Bowl with the Bucs his first year with them.
Yep.
But 19, the Titans were rolling. They whooped the Patriots and Tom Brady in the playoffs. And now they're drafting first overall. So, it's like, dude, it's such a wild, so wild how like a team can go from being such a bright future and things are trending upwards to drafting first overall. And nothing's looking good. No hope.
Well, and having, at one point in time, having A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry on your roster.
Yeah. Yeah, and they traded A.J. Brown for like peanuts, That's probably the start of the demise. But it's just, but that goes back to showing like these teams that just make these weird decisions and offload guys that maybe doesn't make sense or take contracts that don't make sense. And the Packers haven't been perfect either. We've signed some guys that maybe we shouldn't have, or like the Bakhtiari contract ended up being a really rocky one because he got hurt like shortly after, which altered his career. So that was a hard one. But I think that was like, those are like the anomalies and the one-offs where the Packers aren't consistently making those mistakes.
Right. Yeah. It's maybe a few things here and there, but it's not leading to like a detrimental level where they're not even contenders anymore.
Yeah. That's a wild to think about.
Yeah. All right. So as we wrap up here, if people are in Green Bay for the draft, what are some places they should check out?
Ooh.
I know everywhere is going to be busy, people. So don't expect like there's not going to be any lines.
Yeah. So I do have a website to shamelessly plug myself.
Go for it, man. Go for it.
So I have a website, thegreenbayguy.com, where I put a lot of like I try a lot of different places in town. I've probably been slacking on a little bit more just with my little man. It makes it a little bit tougher because you have like a half hour window to go anywhere to eat.
Yep.
But I go to places in the area. I try food. And then I kind of get a review on the places, and everything's all my opinion. I'd recommend anyone try anywhere once. So if you are looking for like restaurants, those are the places on there. They're going to be busy, like you said, because some of those are going to be like the really popular places. The Rustique Pizzeria, which is a phenomenal place. Legend Larry's, incredible place for wings. Angelina, great pasta place. But what I will tell you is there's a little dive bar about 15 minutes outside of town that I don't think will be as busy because it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's called Basil's 2. And It is beyond cheap. It's a dive bar, middle of nowhere. It when you read it, it's about, it says it was started by the Kroll family. I don't know if it's the same Kroll family that did Kroll's or if they're like cousins or something. Okay. But the burgers are very similar style, like butter burgers.
Yeah.
But we'll go there and my wife will get a meal. I'll get a meal. And the sides that you get are like shareable size. And then my son will get like a chicken finger, two chicken fingers, and our bill will be like $21 or something like that. It's wild how cheap that place is, and there's way too much food. I take a lot of people out there. So Basil's too, I definitely recommend checking out. Now, as far as like other places to do, shout out to Scray Cheese. Get some fresh cheese curds over at Scray Cheese. It's kind of on the outskirts of town, and they don't advertise themselves a ton, so it might not be as busy. I hope they are, because they have some of the best cheese curds I've ever had, and I love Scray Cheese, so I'm a big fan of them. Trying to think like things that maybe won't be like as stupid busy, but I think everything's probably going to be.
Yeah.
Now I got to look at my website, man.
Yeah, sounds good.
What places do you like when you come to town?
Oh, I like going to Badger State Brewing. Is a popular spot that my buddy always takes me to, the guy that I'm staying with, actually. So we'll probably end up over there in some regard.
Nice. That's a good spot.
What's the other place that we like going to? Mission Barbecue is a really good spot for food.
Yeah, Mission's really good. They like had like a fire not long ago, but they're back up and running, but that was a big deal. Yeah, that's a good spot for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like, yeah, a bunch of the places that we usually go to like the same spots. I don't know. There's good stuff all over though.
So one thing I'd recommend if people want to come in is checking out the Heritage Trail. Especially if you have your own car. The Heritage Trail it's like a free map online. And it takes you like kind of follow it, and it takes you all around Green Bay, and it shows you all the historical stuff. So you see like Curly Lambeau's house, you see Old City Stadium. It'll take you to Curly's gravesite if you want to, but there's a lot of like historic things. So if you love history and you're like, hey, I already spent a lot of money coming to this trip and I don't want to spend a ton more, the Heritage Trail is a really fun thing. Loco Wisco, which is downtown Green Bay, is a super cool shop. It is like only Wisconsin stuff being sold there, and it's a lot of like small artists, so that's another really cool place to check out. The casino. Everyone loves the casino.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I love a lot of like coffee shops. There's a lot of great coffee shops. Coffee Wizards is a great one. I'm trying to think. The other thing that, have you ever been to Uncle Mike's when you've came here?
I don't think so.
So there's a place called Uncle Mike's that makes Kringles, which are like award-winning Kringles. They're the most ridiculous thing ever. They're incredibly unhealthy for you, but my gosh, you cannot stop eating them. I brought one to Christmas a few years ago, and my brother like devoured it, and he was like obsessed with it. And then I was planning on coming back like the following month. And he calls me and he goes, "Hey man, can you stop by Uncle Mike's for me?" And I'm like, yeah, you like want me to pick up like a Kringle for the trip? Well, so I went around work and I got an order form going, and I bought there's like 35 of them. I'm going to need you to like pick up and bring back. My trunk was full of Uncle Mike's Kringles. I felt like I was like smuggling something illegally, you know, like I got the trunk like boarded up full of Kringles, and then we had to like transplant them back. And my brother's like, I think at the time they're like $18 a Kringle, but my brother's charging everyone $20 just because it was easy. And I'm like, how come you're getting this $2 profit on everyone and I'm doing all the work? Like, you're not paying me for gas, nothing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a good deal on my end, but I say that to say that like the Kringles are unbelievable. They're so good. And if you're like, hey, I'm traveling, I don't want to bring it on a plane, you can buy them online and they do like overnight shipping to it, so you get it fresh, which is really great. But you need to try one of those when you're in town next time. Like, get a half a Kringle, bring it back home, get your daughter all sugar crazed, and she'll be running around.
Yes, I'll probably wait till summertime then, so that at least we can run outside.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. But next time, like, you're here in the summer, you definitely need to check out that place, dude. The Kringles are wild.
Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely. I mean, I love the Kringles that like are the high school choir sells and everything like that. Sure. So. Yeah, I'm all about
it. This Uncle Mike place at like Christmas time, they'll do like brandy old fashioned Kringles.
Oh boy.
And it tastes like you're eating some alcohol. Like I don't drink too often. Uh-huh. So like I got one year just because I'm like, oh, maybe my family likes old fashions. And I'm like, oh man, I felt like I was taking a shot every time I was eating a slice of it.
Everybody's passed out around the Christmas tree. Like, what happened?
Kids are just passed out. No, I don't think we gave them any of it. I don't think maybe there's alcohol in it. They didn't ID me to buy it, but
right.
It definitely tasted like it.
Kringle?
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely some great places to check out. If people are heading down to Green Bay for the draft, and I look forward to seeing you down there on Thursday.
Yeah, man, I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I don't have an official day counter, like countdown to Christmas on my class board, but I maybe should add that.
Dude, I think you should do something like draft pick related with your, I don't know if your kids are like following it enough, but like prizes for, I don't know, maybe give them like the top 40 picks and like let them put them in an order and then giving the prizes to who gets the most right. I think that'd be a fun thing. I'm sure you'll implement it some fun way in your classroom. You do such a good job of that, man. I really enjoy watching your stuff and seeing how you interact with your kids, because I know you're making memories for kids that will last forever, especially that like the kid that won the spelling bee. Dude, I was so emotionally invested in watching those every week that I was like, oh man, like what word tripped him up? You know, you'd give your like five words or the five names and you'd say one name. I'm like, yep, that's the name. That was the curveball name. And that's the one that took every kid out.
Yep.
That kid was ready, man. Love it.
Yeah. It was so much fun. Like that was probably, one of the most fulfilling things that I've had happen as a teacher, like being able to, like he got all the words correct, like legitimately correct. And then to see his face when I surprised him at Lambeau, like that was the greatest thing. And then the Packers Pro Shop like gave him and his dad custom cheese heads and
that's awesome
ways to remember their first Packers game and everything. And yeah, I don't know.
But think of the thing, and I'm sure you've been told this, and I'm sure like you've thought about this, but like, dude, the impact you made on his life on that, like that's something he's going to remember. He's going to be like 40 years old and be like, yeah, dude, when I was in second grade, I won the spelling bee and my teacher got me tickets to this Packers game and I got to do this with my dad and my teacher was there and the Packers, you know, like that's like lifetime memories. And you don't remember a lot of stuff in second grade, but he'll remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I can't put it into words really just how cool that was to see all come together and everything. So I'm going to keep doing it. I think I'll do I'll only have one winner every year. I'll say that like, if there's somebody that wins, like, I don't think this would be the case cause I make the fifth word way too hard, early on in the year. But, if somebody wins like week three, I don't think I wouldn't do them afterwards, but
I mean, you could always do like a piece of memorabilia or something. That'd be a little bit cheaper, like an 8x10 or something like that.
Right.
Now, if someone didn't win for like a year, would you do two in the next year? Just like roll it over? Just.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on a teacher salary, man. That's Rocky stuff.
We'll see.
But that's Rocky stuff.
But yeah, that was really cool. And doing this March Madness bracket challenge thing that we just wrapped up with was pretty fun too. Just having all my students fill out brackets and then the winner gets a little trophy and then a box of fruit gushers. Like
that. I think I saw that just before I jumped on here. I was going to ask you, did the results of the cereal one happen that I missed? Cause I saw you post like cereal brackets and I'm like, dude, Fruity Pebbles is going to bust a lot of cause I think you had that as like an 8 seed or something. Like Fruity Pebbles at 8 was way too low.
Yeah, I know. I know. Like I wasn't going to make everyone happy with how I seeded it. I just put them in there and they just randomized it.
I'm just thinking, dude, as a kid, I would crush Fruity Pebbles. That was like
I still crush them as an adult.
Yo, yeah, big time, big time. So I'm curious if we ever heard of the champion of the cereal brackets.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to which one was the most popular. I know it was like a super random one that you wouldn't have expected. It was,
really?
Yeah, like Honey Nut Cheerios.
I would not, as a kid, I would have ate them, but that would not be a bracket breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's not like, that's like the last cereals there, and so you're just like begrudgingly having it.
Yeah.
That's like, not a bracket breaker, though.
Right.
That's a 16 seed, if you ask me.
Yeah. Gosh. I would say the other one was Honey Bunches of Oats made quite a run.
That surprised me, too, because as a kid, I would have thought that was an old person cereal.
Right, exactly. I'm not trying to be healthy here. I'm not... Do you think
it's because us generation as parents are trying to make better health choices for our kids than, like, I feel like my parents just didn't, not that they didn't care, but it was just like, all right, you want Fruity Pebbles, here you go. You want this, here you go. You want Lunchables, here you go. Oh, you want green ketchup, here you go.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you're...
What is this doing to me? I don't know.
I don't know if you remember the green ketchup craze at Burger King and, like, their purple ketchup. Like, yes. We were getting served some weird stuff. So maybe it's just our generation of, like, oh, let's pump the brakes. We don't... We'll give you Honey Bunches of Oats because we feel like it's at least a little bit better. Or Honey Nut, you know, Honey Nut Cheerios at least feel a little bit better. Unlike, like, just... pumping you full of Fruity Pebbles and whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna attribute that. That's mentally how I'm gonna sleep tonight between you know, being amped up about the wave and the cereal
brackets.
Cereal brackets that I was too emotionally invested in.
Yeah. Your wife asked you, like, what's wrong? The wave and cereal, man.
Yeah, dude. Honey Bunches of Oats, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great cereal. It's like one of my favorite cereals. But as a kid, I that would have been an old person cereal that I wasn't touching.
Yeah, for sure. but it's been a lot of fun to do that kind of stuff. I'll have to get a little creative on different things to do to the end of the school year. But I don't know. It's something I like incorporating, like, things that I'm passionate about into different lessons. So whether it's Packers football, March Madness stuff, I don't know. Basketball, Brewers baseball, anything Wisconsin, really. Just trying to incorporate that. I did a meat raffle one year. Kids can earn tickets for good behavior. So I gave away. It was like,
dude, that is the most Wisconsin thing I've ever heard. A teacher, you're just doing a meat raffle as good behavior, and you gave away venison.
I gave away venison. I gave away bacon, blocks of cheese. Kids were going home with this in their backpack. Like, I was like, here's. I was like, now, when you get off the bus, you need to make sure this gets in the fridge. Otherwise, you're going to have some bad venison.
Just homework's ruined because it's waterlogged from venison that was frozen when you gave it to him.
Yeah. Mr. Hessler, you ruined my backpack. How could you do this?
Dude, that is the greatest thing I've heard. That might actually calm the nerves now for the night. We had the lows of lows with the cereal and the waves, and now the highs of highs, so...
Yeah.
I'm going to ride high off that one.
Yeah, maybe that's how we wrap up the school year, another meat raffle.
Yeah, there you go, dude. I'm for that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come on the show, Ben, and just talk about...
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the draft and what you're doing with the Green Bay guys. So, folks, be sure to check them out on Facebook, Instagram at The Green Bay Guy, and also www.thegreenbayguy.com.
Yeah, and if you have questions about anything when you're coming to town, my number's on there. You can shoot me a text. You can email me. I try to be somewhat prompt in responding. So I'm happy to help people who are coming in and having questions. I might not know the answer, but I'm happy to help where I can.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man, and we'll see you come draft week.
Yeah, can't wait, man. Can't wait.
All right, take care. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.